a wrong key, Kamal, and don't be looking back at me a particular way because that key, that's not my talent or my strength, and I'm going to talk about that today. Continue to come together as a congregation. Just make sure we keep all of those in prayer that's traveling, that's on vacation, those that may be struggling with matters of their health or matters of their family. Let's continue to encourage one another. My message for today was actually inspired by Brother George. I told Brother George last week, I had a conversation with him, that he inspired some of my message today. But I didn't know until I saw him today that I must have somehow inspired him, because we got a similar haircut today. Brother George just barber and took a picture of me and said, this is the hairstyle that I want. So we inspired one another, Brother George. But Brother George told me that he was going to physical therapy. And I remember speaking to Rory as well. And I was just talking to a number of us, and we were having a few ailments in our bodies. Me as well. Went for a run, and my right foot around my calcaneus area swelled up, so it changed my gait. Now my left leg tendonitis fired up on me, and because I'm trying to go up and down stairs, then my right knee tendonitis flared up on me. And then this morning, my left ankle, because my knee is sore, my right knee is sore with tendonitis, my ankle was sore. So there was a chain reaction to everything that is happening. So I'm taking a little anti-inflammatory. Hopefully I'll feel better. And I gotta get better because we're on vacation next week. Right? I don't wanna be on vacation while the family's having fun and I'm iced up in the room. So I'm gonna take today's message from Ephesians, one of my favorite passages. Ephesians chapter 4, we're gonna go with verse 11 through 16. Verse 11 through 16. And I'm going to read the NIV version, but I'm also going to go to King James version just to emphasize some of the words, but we'll make sure that we also use more simplistic words as well. And it reads, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of people in their deceit, the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so I want to take my message from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. But I also want to read that same verse in the NIV version, and it says, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by every joint supplies, that every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so, as we reference the body, in which the Bible tells us that everybody and the ligaments that actually connect and join our bodies together. Let's focus on this verse and break it down for a moment here. It says, from him, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. If you know anything about the human body, and it seems like every time I get an opportunity to speak, I'm speaking something about anatomy and physiology. Most of you know my doctorate degree is in applied kinesiology. But when you think about ligaments in the body, the ligaments is soft tissue, really strong structured soft tissue that connects bone to bone. But you also have tendons, and the tendons in the body tends to connect muscle to muscle. And when you think about ligaments, ligaments help to create the structure of the body. There's about over 200 bones in the body. And if there's no ligaments, your bone would not necessarily have a structure in which it can adhere to. And so as we think about ligaments, I want y'all to think about this metaphorically, about what it means to have the body of Christ and having ligaments that is connecting one of us so we can have the proper structure in the church. Not only are the ligaments support, but it help us for growth and builds us up in love. When you think about the growth, we're talking about the physiology of the body. If you don't have physiology, you're not going to necessarily have growth. And when you think about growth, and when it comes to the church, the Bible tells us very simply this. The answer is that is love. Love strengthens and builds up the body. And if you think about our physical body, if you have a certain love for your physical body, there are things that you do for your body to keep it protected, to keep it strong, so it can perform on a regular basis for you. So what do we mean by that? I wanted to share, and I apologize if the font is a little small, but I just wanted to share some unique statistics or factors about the human body. There are numerous ones that are out there, but I will tell you, there is not a more sophisticated system than the human body. The Bible tells us that God had gotten dust, and he formed man, and he breathed breath of life. And then man became what? A human being. There is not, in my opinion, a more magnificent creation of God than the human body. If someone, and I don't think Brother Connor is here today, but he's an orthopedic surgeon. But we have a few others that are here that's in the health space. If you've seen someone that may have had an amputation because of an accident, or maybe they were in the military, or something that occurred, and they take an amputee and they create a prosthesis. It doesn't matter how well that engineering is. It doesn't matter how great the structure. It never has the pinpoint precision of what was created by God. So the human body is, in my opinion, is perfect, but it's imperfect because it was never designed to remain here on earth. It is a temple to where our spirit and our soul reside, and then it returns back to the same dust and dirt in which it came from. So when we talk about the human body, it says here, your body contains over 86 billion neurons or cells connected by over 1 trillion synapses, more than stars in the Milky Way. Was God specific when he made man? We're more significant in the Milky Way, and I don't know about you, every time I see a picture of the solar system, I'm in awe. But sometimes we look in the mirror and look at our bodies, we're like, And you know how we do sometimes, Brother Watt, we turn to the side. You see? And not realize that the human body is made in perfection, the creation of that. Two, it says the gluteus maximus is the largest muscle in the body. But the strongest muscle in the body is your jaw, is the tongue. Not because some of us like to talk or like very gregarious, although I'm having the second sermon today because Mark already gave us one earlier today. It's that the tongue, we're eating, we're chewing, we're talking, we're communicating. And the tongue called sexually is not very big, but the ability that it has. And I think we understand how the tongue plays a significant role in Christianity and the spiritual life. I'm not going to necessarily go through those scriptures because I don't want to. That's a second sermon talking about the tongue. But it says you get a new skeleton every 10 years. The bone regenerates. Can you imagine if you broke a bone and it never healed? Can you imagine if you had been in a car accident and you had a laceration of your liver or your spleen and it never healed? Some of you break nails on a regular basis or have injuries, and what happens over a couple of days, God has given us these processes and these protocols in our body. We have these messenger RNAs. These things allow us to have protein synthesis. When we have injury, the body rejuvenates itself. We're going to talk about the liver. It rejuvenates itself. Our body can function off of one kidney. So when we think about the human body, God was very intentional with the creation of us. So you not think he's intentional about the body of Christ, in which he has purchased with his own blood, in which he has died for removing us from our sins? And it says here the cornea is the only part of the body without blood supply, but it gets its oxygen from the air. For those that work in this space, one of the things that physical therapy do is to help you with active motion. And the purpose of active motion is to promote what? More blood supply. And more blood supply means that you're getting more nutrients to those joints. And when you're getting more nutrients to those joints, it can help the healing process to be accelerated. But parts of our body that tends to be more prone for injury are those that don't get as much oxygen. The Achilles. There's not a lot of blood flow, although there is blood flow to every aspect of our body. That means there's life in every aspect of the church. But when you think about the Achilles and the soft tissue that's there, it doesn't get a lot of blood flow. So you wonder why, as we get older, our Achilles is more likely to be injured or to be ruptured if you're not properly taking care of yourself, or do you decide to make a movement? Some of you, or me too, that's what I'm into now, a weekend warrior. Always need to be doing something, moving about. But if you watch the NBA the last couple of months of the season, four superstars went down with Achilles ruptures. So when you think about the blood flow seems to mean more health, more nutrients, more oxygen, more endocrines, all of those different things that's needed to strengthen the body. And then last but not least, you produce enough saliva. I threw this one in here because this was fascinating to me. You produce enough saliva in a lifetime to fill two swimming pools. We do a lot of spitting. A lot of saliva, and I can tell you, I mean, all of us probably have our favorite food. And you get that steak or that chicken masala or whatever else you want, and your body, your mouth starts to water. In fact, some of your mouths are watering right now, thinking about what you're going to eat 1 hour from now. Wings and tacos, all of the good food that you like. So there are a number of factors. There's a number of what I would say, thought-provoking things about the human body. I just shared a few things to keep this in perspective. And so the human body, this magnificent creation, is made up of about 10, really 11, if you include the integumentary system. It's about 10 to 11 systems that make up the entire body. But within those systems, you have a number of organs. And those organs have a specific task and a specific job. And then those 11 systems, if those 11 systems have got to work together in unity. If one of those systems is a little off key,
then you're not probably feeling well. If your cardiovascular, if your heart's not doing well, and by the way, me as being a cardiovascular a clinical exercise physiologist, I'm all about the heart. If the heart goes, I don't care how strong your muscles are. I don't care how good your GI tract, your gastroenterologist may be. So what do these different systems do? We have the nervous system, the circulatory system, the respiratory, digestive, muscular, skeleton, immune, or what we call lymphatic system, endocrine, urinary, reproductive, and the integumentary, skin. That's your nails, your skins, and some people count that as 11, some people don't. I count it because we know that the skin helps to regulate your body, which keeps your core temperature when you're warm and when you're cold. Your skin all plays a significant role. But these 10 systems make up the body. And a point that I want to drive here is that if one of these systems is out of whack and is not working to optimal perfect, it begins to impact the other systems. Your respiratory system. When I worked in pulmonary rehabilitation, one of the biggest challenges and one of the most, I would say heart-wrenching is to see someone that come in with like emphysema or come in with a chronic pulmonary disease. Because every time you take a breath, you're reminded that you can't get oxygen in. And when you're trying to breathe off oxygen, get oxygen out, it is very debilitating. And you have to teach them techniques in order to be able to get oxygen in and to get oxygen out. So every time they take a breath, they're reminded that they're dealing with pulmonary disease. And then that pulmonary disease can have an impact on the cardiovascular disease. You realize that the heart beats almost 5 liters of blood per minute. And then that heart has to supply oxygen to itself in order for it to perform optimally. Same thing with the liver. The liver is cleansing our blood, so our blood doesn't have these toxins. And why is it doing that? Because that blood is going to circulate right back to the liver with new. Stay with me here, because I'm saying, remember, is you're building the church up to the effectual working of itself in love. So if the liver is not doing its job, the liver itself can't remain healthy. So the organs have to supply to themselves. Those organs contribute to a system. These systems contribute to the physiology of the body, and then the body is able to form what we consider to be life. Now, let's make a contrast to the body of Christ here. You know, when we think about the physiology of the body of Christ, but first, before I get there, I want to just drive a point with ligaments, because I firmly believe that we're all ligaments in the Christ, in the church. And we're all connected to one another to help to have the structure. We're a congregation within a universal church, right? And we're part of those ligaments. And those ligaments not only allow for connection, but the ligaments allow for movement. Those bones cannot move without the ligaments. If you see someone get injured and they have an ACL, sometimes you'll see where their leg is just kind of dingling. Because now that ligament has been ruptured. So if you're a ligament in a church and you decide that you're no longer interested, you're no longer steadfast, that's almost like rupturing the ACL, and then a church is injured. And the church has to function with this injury. And what happens is that another aspect of the church has to compensate for the injury that has taken place. I want us to be able all to understand and to see how important for each and every one of us to be part of the body of Christ. And the significance that we have. Some of us think that pinky toe, the smallest of the small, is not very important. Let somebody step on that pinky toe. Let that pinky toe get injured. And then that pinky toe is going to change your entire gait. And you're going to start walking funny. Now it's going to impact those knees. It's going to start to impact the back. And then before you know it, now it's starting to impact your psyche, your mind, just from that small injury. Now we understand the connection that we all have. We're all in ligaments in the body of Christ. But when you think about the ligaments in the Ezekiel 37, the story of the dry bones, right? God asked Ezekiel a question. Remember what that question was? Can these bones live? Now, if you've never seen a depiction of that story that has been animated, it would dilate your eyes. Because what you're seeing is that these bones that are just scattered, these bones are coming together. But the first thing that God does to keep those bones connected together is what? The ligaments. Then God added the muscle, then he added the skin, and then those dry bones became living beings. And then there was an army that was there for Ezekiel. See, the physiology of the body of Christ, let's talk a little bit about this, is that when you think about those 10 and 11 systems in the body, we have systems in the church as well. And there is some contrast there, and I'm going to do my best to try to pull some of that out. So, for example, functions in the church, we have leadership that's guided and equipped in the church. We have teachers, we have evangelists, we have those that provide acts of service, we have worship, we have fellowship, giving, we have mercy and care, looking for those that are unable to care for themselves, those that's unable to come to the church building, those that needs to be served, prayer, we have discipleship. So when you think about the systems in the body, do you realize when you go to your doctor, you may go to your primary care physician, and your primary care physician may have to do what? Refer you. Because they're looking for your general well-being and health, and some of them do specialize. I don't want to take that away. If you're a primary care sitting in here, do what you do. But sometimes they have to refer you to what? A specialist. Sometimes you have to go to a cardiologist. Sometimes you have to go to a neurologist. Sometimes you have to go to a physiatrist. If you're having problems with your ankle and feet, you may have to go to a podiatrist. They specialize in certain aspects. And as far as I'm concerned, God has given us ministers on earth to aid us. There are people that have certain abilities and certain strengths, and they have uncanny and innate abilities. If you've ever taken a medical class, I think you understand what I mean. That it's a different type of different intellect and intelligence that you have, and then they specialize. So if I have problems with my heart, if I go to my orthopedic surgeon, you know he's going to look at me sideways? He's going to say, your knees bother me? I'm going to say, no. Your elbows? Your shoulders? Then what you here for? Well, I've been having palpitations, difficulty with breathing. He's going to say, first call 911 and get out of my office. And go down to the ER room and go see a cardiologist or a neurologist, right? But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, he, Christ, gave what? Some to be a what? An apostle. Some to be pastors. Some to be evangelists. Some to be what? Instructors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, the works of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body. God has given us specialists to deal with the various systems in the church. He said he gave. That means that he has given some of us a strength and an ability to contribute to the ailments and the diseases in the body. Right? How many is that? That was five that I just named. That's all we need. That's what Christ said we need. Now, 11 got 10 and 11 systems. I understand that you have various specialists, but Christ was specific about his body. He says, if my body is aching, if my body has disease, I got 5 to 6 specialists that's there to attend to it and to deal with it. So, what does that mean? If you are a ligament in the church and you are, if you have a special gift, The church needs that. There is no small member. There's no member that's bigger than the next. We're all contributing to the effectual working of the body, just like those systems are. And we have to understand that this is of significance, that Christ, God, has given us innate abilities and for us to contribute. No, you don't have to be a physician. You don't have to be the smartest person, but can you care for somebody? Can you pray? You don't even got to come to the church building to pray for somebody. There are certain aspects that can be done. And so, I'm going to go and put it up there because I'm going to go ahead and give you an answer to this next question. So when you think about the 10-11 system, the 11 systems of the body, when you think about, and I think I list about 10 or 11 administration or aspects of the body of Christ. You know, there's a couple of things that you can do to strengthen the church. That's the name of my sermon. Did I have that on one of the slides? Okay. Strengthen the church. There's something that can be done in the human body that strengthens and builds up every system and impacts every organ. Gave you the answer already. Now, I'm only saying exercise because I'm biased to exercise. Exercise is a science, and I love it. I studied it. We understand the impact of what exercise can do for every system in the body, for every organ, even down to the cellular level. Exercise has the ability to change genomes, the genes. That's why exercise benefits. The only time exercise doesn't benefit if you got two different things. I'm going to get a little clinical here. When you have what we call a dissecting aneurysm and you have what we call renal insufficiency. I have an ER nurse back there, so I'm saying anything wrong. Check me outside the door. But beyond that, exercise benefits. Now, let's contrast that to the body of Christ. Exercise means that you are active. Exercise means that there is movement. Exercise means that I'm applying myself somehow in some way. If to strengthen the church, you have to exercise. First, the Bible says you exercise to discern good and evil. Tells us in Timothy, help me out, Timothy chapter 4, it says, bodily exercise profit a little. But it says, what godliness has profit for the life that is and for the life that is to come. But exercise active. Can you imagine that only half of the body of Christ is doing all the work? Wink, wink. The 80-20% rule. And I don't know about you, one thing we've studied about exercise that you can actually have too much exercise, your body begin to break down. You can have what we call exercise addiction, what we call overtraining. And for those that are lending their gifts and their abilities and their talent, but they're doing it over and over and over and over and over, over again, eventually fatigue. They get tired. They get a little weary. Wink, wink, our elders are working. Our elders was outside last week. Cutting wood. I showed up here and said there was a tree in the parking lot, and Brother David and George and Domingo, whoever else, and Brother Walker out there cutting trees, doing the work. And what happens is that if you only have a certain part of the body of Christ that's active and that's exercised, they're going to get overtrained and they're going to get fatigued. Remember when Moses was fighting the Amalekites. And when Moses had his hands up in the air, they were prevailing. Israel was beating them up, was taking care of them. Bible says Moses got weary. In other words, what happened? Moses got tired. He got fatigued. And his arms started to come down. And they started, the Amalekites started to take over. And Moses probably, and then all of a sudden, Aaron and her lifted his arms back up, and guess what happened? They continued to prevail again. So when you only got one half of the body that's working well, that means the other half has to compensate. just like me with my gaits. That's why both my knees sore because of one small injury I had on my foot. And it becomes a chain reaction. Is this message coming home to y'all? All right, some of y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about? I know I'm not Dominican. That's the good thing about being a guest preacher. As I can get up here and start some ruckus and I go on home and leave the aftermath for Domingo. Domingo come back, what done happened? What's going on? Exercise, be active, be engaged. And so this is very difficult to read, but what I did here was try to make a contrast between the functions of the human body and the functions of the body of Christ. God was intentional about the creation of man. Christ was intentional about his church. God gave ministers, what we call doctors and physicians and healthcare providers to be able to help us with our physical ailments. And Christ gave the apostles and he gave evangelists and he gave pastors and teachers and others for the perfecting of the saints. He gave specialists and each one of them have different functions and many of them have different talents. So if you can read it, you can read it. I got my glasses on. I still can't read some of the fun, but I would say that the endocrine regulates the body. Just think about mercy and care. And it may not be an exact analogy, but I think the point is being made. So what message can be drawn from this other than I need to start exercising because that's something you're going to just gather. And that's a good thing to do. Make sure you get yourself 30 minutes of physical activity every day. It helps the body. It helps the mind. It helps cognitive function. It helps all of those different things. But guess what? The body is going to eventually break down. It doesn't matter how much exercise we do and how healthy we look. This body has never been intended to stay here on earth. And in fact, I mean, you know, we have enzymes that's in our stomach. And those enzymes in our stomach has helped to break down food. And we have to break down food and it creates energy for us. But when God decides to call us home, those enzymes become microorganisms or they breed microorganisms. You know what those microorganisms done? It's part of the decay of the body. The very thing that Christ has put in us to aid our bodies is the very thing he put in there that's going to cause our decay, which tells us this earthly body was never meant to stay here on earth. The only thing that you may have left, if you look at some of the carbon dates, is the bones. And eventually those bones are going to deteriorate. But Christ's body is going to continue until the day he returns. So even though we're getting older in our body, what are we doing to continue to strengthen? If our body is not growing, what's happening? It's dying. It's what we call necrosis or maybe apoptosis that's happening. And it's happening all across the country. Our churches are dying off. Slowly but surely for various different reasons. God gave specialists, but unfortunately some of them have chosen not to have specialists. They think I'm just going to be the primary care physician, which is called a religious CEO. Uh-oh, I may be stepping on some toes. Not here. That's not how Domingo functions here. But we all know religious CEOs that have to do everything. You can't do it all. You're not specialized to do it all. When I'm reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, I see an S at the end of apostles and evangelists and teachers and instructors. And one way to see the church to die off and to become drought and to become ineffective and barren is to take on a structure that is not in the Bible. See, I'm a CEO of a large nonprofit. And do you realize I can't do it all? I can't. I have a CFO that handles the financial health of the organization. I have vice presidents that take care of our housing. And another vice president that take care of our economic development. And we have a CDFI where we loan out money. I have another vice president that take care of those things. And collectively are those are the systems that build up the body of the Urban League of Greater Philadelphia. If I took on that mindset that I can do it all, that organization wouldn't last another year and a half. Now we understand why the churches are dying off. And then sometimes I have staff that comes to me and say, we got a problem. All right. So do you got a solution that goes with that problem? Because I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I ask that question, George, because I'm struggling with an answer. So I want to see what you come up with, maybe better than mine. And I say, run with it. This is dire across the conversations that I hear, and some of those that's a member of the church in Texas where I grew up, all across the board. Some churches are growing and become vibrant. Others, it's not happening. God gave specialists. And if we choose not to honor those specialists, then an aspect of the body begins to become hindered. And when one system is hindered, Brother George, the entire organism begins to fail. Little bit by little bit. So what can we do? I'm almost at my time. What, I'm at 30 minutes in here? You know she be monitoring my time sometimes. And I heard a good message. All you need is about 30 minutes. Here we go. What's the take-home message here? Growth and purpose. Know your role. Just like each ligament supports the body, you have a unique role to play. Discover your strengths and use them to serve others. The goal of the elders is to identify abilities and the strengths of others. Sometimes some of you have what we call reluctant leadership. Domingo probably spoke about that before. And so if one of the elders come to you and ask you to take on a task, it's not because they're just being mean. It's not just because they don't want to do it no more, because they see something in you that you have the ability and you may be reliable. Now they've imputed trust on you to do it. And if you say, I don't want to do it, remember, you're a ligament. You want that finger to start dangling, that wrist to start dangling, not having that connection. I think if we start to understand that we are ligaments in the Lord's church, we get a better understanding. Also, stay connected. Growth happens when you're joined with others. Isolation stunts development, but connection fosters love and maturity. I'm sorry to say, I know that we have those that are with us virtually. Thank you for joining in, and please join in next week. But if you're able and you have the transportation and the ability in your body, we'd love to have you here to be able to embrace you and to have a conversation with you. Most of us, we see Mark Ray every Sunday. And if we don't see him, we hear him. But when you come here, Brother Mark embraces folks, because I do believe that he genuinely loves to see folks. See, we don't know what people are dealing with through the week, especially at work. All it takes, by time Monday, sometimes I forget about my Sunday because I am diving knee deep into work. Monday, Tuesday, by time Friday comes, I'm tired. I'm fatigued. And then I got Saturday to deal with my family, Janelle and Jalen, DJ. Then I got to come to church and love on all of y'all, right? Isolation is a scary thing. Social isolation and physical isolation. We need one another. That's why God gave an S on the end of all of those specialized, what I call disciples, for the church. Relationship and fellowship. Support others. Ligaments don't just hold things together, they enable movement. Be someone who strengthens and uplifts those around you. Some of you, that's all you do is just uplift. Sister Joyce, always uplift. How you doing? How's your day going? Always encouraging. We need that. We need that encouragement. Some of us, V-line for that front door on the way. I'm about to tell the truth. Sometimes we want to stop and embrace you, see how you're doing. Shake, look here. Before we leave out here today, shake five people's hands. How you doing? But be sincere about it, Brother George. Right? To encourage one another. Now, sometimes I want to get out here at 12:15 too. And I get it. And I know some of y'all run out of here doing football season. I ain't gonna say who it is. Some people have sermonettes for 20 minutes when they Eagles getting ready to play the Giants. And then while I'm flying over that territory, y'all need to stop shunning y'all cowboy brothers and sisters in the church too. I grew up in Texas. I supposed to like the white and blue. Brother Mark, he will greet me and say, how you doing? But he sure will remind me, you know we won the Super Bowl, don't you? And last but not least, work in love. The verse emphasizes that growth happens in love. That means patience, kindness, and grace in how we treat one another. You know, one thing that keeps visitors coming back is how we treat one another and the love and the affection. Look, I have family members that I love. That don't mean I gotta like them, Brother Mike. I see them once a year at family reunions. And if they happen to skip the family reunions, I text you and say, we miss you. So love is a little bit different. You can love somebody, but liking, we got to get to the point, not only that we love, we understand that we build ourselves up in love, but now can you couple that and attach that to like? If I love and like you, there's times Janelle loves me. I know she loves me all the time. She don't like me sometimes. That's human nature. That's the human physiology. I forgot to put the nervous system. It's the brain and the cognitive functions of that. Look, I'm going to stop meddling, but work in love. We understand the role of the body of Christ. And as we're taking care of our physical bodies are getting older because that's what happened every day. Every day we're one day older. And we're one day to having this tabernacle pulled off. But what will be remaining is the church. And if we don't ensure that the church remains, that we're not doing the job that Christ asked us to do, right? And we all have a role and a responsibility in that. So today's message is yours. If anyone has any questions about what the body of Christ is and how I become a member of the body of Christ, well, the good thing about the body of Christ is that Christ selects who becomes a member, not us, right? You become a ligament as we work together in an effectual way. But Christ adds you to the church as you obey the gospel. You hear the gospel. You believe. You repent. You confess. And you be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And we go back and read in the book of Acts, around verse chapter 2, it says, then Christ adds you to his church. And our job is that we realize that we're just a system in the global church. We're a congregation. And we got to do our part. I would imagine if God in Christ wrote a letter to us like he did in Revelations. Remember, he wrote letters to his churches. What would he say about Green Bank Church of Christ? I think we do a lot of things great. And I don't have a whole lot of criticism. I don't. But I believe that we can all make sure that all of us that are members realize that we are a ligament in the body of Christ. And if we're going to have structure and have effectual working, and if we're able to make movement together, we all have to recognize the significant importance that we have. If you have not been added to the body of Christ, today is your opportunity. If you have questions about anything that was shared today, about any verse that's there, please see one of our leaders in the congregation. We'd be more than happy to break open the book of life and do exactly what those in the Bible did that the Bible claimed to have been saved, right? And if they have been saved, the Bible says you're saved, because that means that you've met those conditions that the Bible said you need to meet. If man said you've been saved, I would always test that and go back to my scriptures and understand that I do what they do to become what they became. And that's a member of the body of Christ. So this message is yours as we stand together and sing the song of invitation. Brother Mike, it's yours. Oh, I'm advancing yours, sorry.
There's some yield signs at the end of this song, so watch my hand. Oh God, you are my God, and I